Now, Nicola Shindler's career in television began at the BBC as a script editor, and then Granada when she worked on Cracker. Back at the BBC, she was assistant producer on Our Friends in the North. Then she founded her own production company, Red, based in Manchester, and has been responsible for some of the most talked-about television drama, Queer as Folk, Clocking Off, and most recently Scott and Bailey and Last Tango in Halifax. And now she appears on the Woman's Hour Power List. Nicola, what was your reaction to being on the power list?
Well, incredibly flattered and surprised and pleased with the reaction that it got. A lot of people were impressed in my office, which was important.
What drew you originally to television drama after university?
I wasn't interested in television drama per se. I was always interested in writers and writing. I read a lot. I watched a lot of television. I went to the theatre a lot. So initially, I thought I was going to work in the theatre. I did 2 years at the Royal Court in London, which was the home of new writing, and I realised that it wasn't necessarily the theatre that I was interested in, it was the process of writing. So I got really good advice from people and worked out the best thing to do was to try and be a script editor.
Why didn't you want to be a writer yourself?
I'm not a writer. I absolutely think writers are born. You know that thing about everyone's got a story in them? I don't believe that at all, and I've read enough bad scripts to know that's true. I think writers just are writers. They have voices in their heads. They write from a very early age. They think differently. I'm not very good with a blank piece of paper, but talk to me about an idea and where it should go, and I can start talking straight away.
How much influence had your parents had on your choice?
Oh, hugely influential. They always read a lot as well. They always watched a lot of television. We always talked about things constantly, had opinions on television. They took me to the theatre as well from a very early age. And growing up in Manchester, I went to the Royal Exchange with them, which was doing all sorts of radical interpretations of plays or new work, and just being put in front of that and having parents who wanted to talk about it, plus parents who didn't understand the plot of soap operas, so I always had to explain it. So I learned to understand how story worked and how characters worked.
Why did you decide to come home? You'd worked at the Royal Court Theatre, you came back to the North West, when most people would have seen London as the broadcasting centre.
Well, I had worked in London for 8-9 years, and coincidentally, everything I do kept being based in Manchester. At the time, Granada was a really vibrant place for drama, and my first job as an actor script editor was on Cracker, which was entirely Manchester-based. So very quickly, I was back home. I, you know, was seeing my family, seeing my parents, and realised that actually that's where I'm from, that's where I enjoy working. Even when I came back to do Hillsborough, which was obviously a lot set in Liverpool, we made that in Manchester. So I was working in Manchester predominantly, and then realised when I had a choice about where I could work, when I no longer had to be in London, that Manchester was where I wanted to be.
I think that was your first big job as a producer, working on Jimmy McGovern's Hillsborough. How much did you learn there? Because you were very inexperienced at the time.
Incredibly inexperienced. Ridiculously young, didn't really understand what I was doing, but I knew I had to protect what Jimmy wanted to do. He was a man absolutely driven to do that project. He was offered he could do anything he wanted, and all he wanted to do was do the Hillsborough story properly and truthfully. And so I was really on his coattails, making sure that what he wanted happened. And I could do that. I could fight for a writer's vision, and I could, even though I didn't understand how budget worked, I knew that what we had to spend on was getting the right amount of people in the right spaces, in telling the truth the whole time. So I kind of learnt on the job, very much so. And really, I was only given the job because it was something that everyone thought no one would watch.
What made you decide to set up Red?
I had an experience. After Hillsborough, I made a feature film called Heart with Jimmy McGovern, which I don't think we made properly. And I think there were lots of reasons for that. And I got to the point where I thought, I don't want to have to work on material that I don't believe in 100%. So if I was working with other people, I would be given projects. And I only wanted to take on projects that I could. And I had the kind of arrogance of youth to think that I should be allowed to do that. And at the time, I had no one to support, you know, no responsibilities. So it was a perfect opportunity, really. I mean, I was too young, but I didn't know that, so it was perfect.
Well, you learned, didn't you? And, you know, writers are often undervalued, I think, in film and television. But as you've explained, that absolutely central to you. You've worked with people like Paul Abbott and Russell T. Davies. How significant have they been to your success and you to theirs?
It's hard for me to say how significant I am to them. I know that I was in the right place at the right time for the work that they wanted to do. For me, I'd learnt so much from working with writers like that. So the first year that I set up Red, I was working with Russell, with Paul and with Catherine Johnson, who went on to write Mamma Mia. Three extraordinary different writers who work in such different ways. and who were making such different programmes for me. And I learned just enormously, both about how the process of them working. Paul and Russell as well were producers as well as writers. And I've often worked with writers like that. Sally Wainwright at the moment is the same. They absolutely understand the process of making television. So they write for what they know you can afford to make, what they know is possible within a schedule. They're very organised and structured. Paul less so, but still, even when he's reaching for the stars, he kind of does it on a very grounded way. So I learned a lot.
Sally, of course, responsible for Scott and, yes, and Bailey. The most recent works have been Last Tango in Halifax, which I loved, and Scott and Bailey, which I'm afraid I also love. What's been special about those two for you?
Scott and Bailey, I think it's been an extraordinary process, both because I've always been a fan of television police series. I've watched them and I've read a lot of television crime crime books as well. But to actually work with an advisor, work with Sally, who's absolutely determined to get to the truth, to get to the bottom of it, that was brilliant to understand that process. And now we're in the third series now, we're making it at the moment. The whole process of putting together a crime story is brilliant. That's just really challenging and interesting. And Last Tango, very different. It was a very personal project for Sally, in some respects, but it just became this extraordinarily beautifully written piece, which was just about everyone. I think it's touched so many people, because it feels like it's about everyone's family.
And it was beautiful, because it was about old people and romance when you're old. How important was that?
Oh, incredibly so, because that's what had happened to Sally's mum. She'd found someone very late in life. But everything that she wrote about the couple, about Alan and Celia, was very truthful to that. But also, the attitude of those people spread through their whole family, and I think that was really important as well, that it showed how the generations were affected by love hitting you at a certain age.